Will you turn with me tonight now to Psalm 119? Psalm 119, and we may read simply at verse 57. Thou my sure part, my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreat thy favour with my whole heart, be merciful unto me according to thy word. And then these verses 59 and 60. I thought on my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. This morning we were thinking of the experience of the prodigal son who cut his family ties and went off searching for the meaning of life and satisfaction as he thought he could obtain it. He wanted to escape all kind of religious input and all things religious in his life, if we take the spiritual lesson that it's giving to us. We want to go our own way and to do our own thing. We think that the way we've decided and the path we've set for ourselves is going to be full and exciting, and it is going to deliver what we think it promises. But like the man in our parable and often repeated for ourselves, as we drink from that cup, we find that there is no satisfaction from the first sip. There might be that great promise that this is going to satisfy our soul, but the sip so often disappoints. And we are only drawn deeper and deeper into drinking, trying to find that which we are longing for, looking for. And the man and we sink lower and lower. It is a true spiritual experience there given to us that sometimes we have got to learn spiritual lessons the hard way. Sometimes we take God's counsel to ourselves and we respond to it properly and correctly. But there are other times when we don't. This man had to be emptied first. This man had to discover the hollowness of all the promises that he was clinging on to so tightly. This man had to learn the vanity, the futility, the frustrations of life without God. A lesson that is repeated round about us again today. Because you find people so touchy, so sensitive, but so empty, on different stages of this same process that this man, the prodigal son, was on. God has created us himself. And being created by him, we find no rest until we find that rest in him. It's a spiritual truth that stands the test generation after generation. We find rest, purpose, and fulfillment only when our lives are committed and dedicated to God. This man had to be stripped down. All of these things that he held on to had to be prized from his grasp and cast out of his life. And it was only then, like we read this morning, that he started to think. He came to himself and he started to think. Where am I? And these questions will find an echo with ourselves. Where am I? What is my life all about? And what am I achieving and accomplishing? What have I done with all of the privileges that God has given to me, what he's taught me and shown me? What have I done with all of the services that I've been privileged to hear for all the years and days of my life? Have I allowed them to be stolen out of my mind, out of my life, out of my memory? All of the spiritual realities that at the time left me feeling fearful, where have they gone to now? We sometimes dismiss the spiritual dimension to our character and so neglect a vital aspect of our living. The prodigal son, he came to himself, he started to think. And it is to continue that process that I want us to look at these words in Psalm 119 at 59. I thought on my ways. These words of verse 59 and 60 could well apply to him and to ourselves. So let us again think of them as stepping stones, as we did this morning, stepping stones to take us through our own life and our own experiences, but also as ways of opening up what's happening to us, perhaps, or what needs to happen to us. And the first thing that this psalmist, this person tells us, is quite a simple thing. He started to think about his life. Now we know that the pressure and the pace of life today is against that kind of thinking. There's so much that drives us one crisis to another. We're dragged along with the pace of life and the things that are going on round about us that we sometimes have got to stop the world we want to get off. Here is the psalmist engaging in an honest analysis of himself. He is stopping his life and he is looking below the surface and below the facade of life. Not the things that he had that everybody else could see on the surface of his life. He's looking deep inside his own life. He's not afraid, you see. He's not afraid to unzip his life and look at his own spiritual status and standing. He's not afraid to ask himself questions, to think about his life. How has it been then with my soul? Am I making spiritual progress? I may be growing in knowledge, but am I also growing in grace? He's thinking about his life. Where is the blessedness when first I knew when I saw the Lord? Like the words we read there from Jeremiah chapter 8. The harvest is past, the summer is ended. Am I not saved? Thinking about his life. To do that we need to apply some kind of a norm or some kind of a pattern, some kind of a standard. Whenever you're making an assessment, well, that's what it should be like. And that's what it really is. And you compare the two to find out how far short. Well, to think about our lives, we need to have some kind of a standard to apply to ourselves. A template, it's called. A template. The template that God has given to us is not the morals that apply around about us today, because they change with culture, country, and time. The standard we have is not what everybody else is doing, the majority opinion. The standard we have isn't just simply what works. Well, if it works and I get off with it, good. That's the way I'm going to live. No. It's not a personal interest. It's not political intrigue. It's not personal gain. God has given us a standard outside ourselves. Above ourselves, beyond ourselves. God has told us clearly, plainly here what is right and what is wrong. The goals don't move with time and circumstance. Sometimes you see that happening in other places and with other people, in business, in politics. You can see goals being moved around from time to time. With God's word, they don't move. We are underneath God's word. And therefore, we've got to test ourselves. And we've got to think upon our life underneath what God is saying to us. Remember what the letter to the Hebrews said about God's word. It's a living, powerful, it's a dynamic thing, God's word. When God's word gets loose inside your life and mine, it tells us amazing things and, quite honestly, frightening things. Because God's word tells us what we really like. God's word tells us what God sees when He looks down into us. And so often that's not what we like, and that's not what we want Him to see. It penetrates deep inside us, brings out all of the motives, all of the thoughts, all of the attitudes that have been hidden from men, known only by ourselves. God's word, a sharp two-edged sword, we're told it is. Well, if it's a sword, it cuts. And it begins to cut and thrust with us. To reveal, to let the light in. To penetrate the darkest corners of our thinking. This is what the psalmist is doing. He's beginning to think upon his ways. He's not applying the standards of people round about him. He's not judging himself by other nations, other armies, other peoples. We shouldn't judge ourselves by what goes on for politics or business sense in our day. We shouldn't accept the norms that are operating in society. We've got a higher, independent standard to go by. God has told us what He requires of us. How then are we doing? What effect is all this having upon us? How are we thinking? Are we thinking about God's word and what He says to us? What is the effect of this process on us? James tells us that what is the process? It's like going to look at a mirror. When we take God's word to ourselves, it's like looking in a mirror, and you see a reflection. And when we look at that reflection of ourselves underneath God's word, we don't like what we see. So many people, perhaps today, when they read God's word, and it's like a mirror to reflect their own selves, well, it's not what they like, and it makes them uncomfortable and they prefer not to listen to it. And so we find the same kind of situation arising like Jeremiah describes again in that very chapter 8. People will say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. People will give us a message and will tell us things that we want to hear, but what aren't true. And we delude ourselves. And round about us tonight in our society, there are so many people who are deluding themselves, thinking that everything is ordered and everything is right. And so often people discover just too late that things aren't as they should be. Or again, people don't want their lives disturbed. If we look into God's word and God tells us how we should behave and what we should believe, and God tells us the way we should act and the way we should relate to people, and we take our lives side by side with these things, then God's word disturbs us greatly. And therefore we prefer not to think of God. Let's not rock the boat. Let sleeping dogs lie. And therefore they close the book and they put it to one side. They don't think. But we've got to think. Because it's important for us. We've got to think of what God is saying to us, because sin is the hallmark on our hearts. Sin is the pattern of experiences in our lives. And we've got to be brave enough, and we've got to be bold enough to take God's word into our lives, to test every fiber of our living, to put every emotion, every desire, every thought, every action under the scrutiny of God's word, to take ourselves moment by moment, day after day, as it were, and ask the Lord, what does God's word say about this and that and the next thing? What am I? Where have I been? What am I doing and where am I going? That's what the psalmist is telling us to do. I thought on my ways. That's what we've got to do today. We have got to think upon our ways. And one of the greatest battles today is the battle inside our heads. A battle that's going on right now with every one of us, on the way that we're thinking. Are we thinking according to the pattern and the mold of God's word? Or are we thinking of the pattern and the mold that the world has set for us, or self-interest has dictated? The things that I want, not what God wants. When we think then about God's word, the conclusion we ought to come to is that there are things wrong in our lives. Again, so important, that chapter 8 of Jeremiah that we read. That verse 4 that I explained, somebody falls and they get up. And here is Jeremiah, and he's come preaching to the people. And he's come preaching God's word to the people. And you expect, or at least the prophet is expecting, that kind of reaction. Well, I've told them that they're wrong and they should get up and put things right. And they don't. There is nobody, and this is the word in Jeremiah 8 and 6, there is nobody that says, what have I done? What have I done? The proper spiritual conclusion of thinking about my life. But then we go on. Not only does he think about his life, he is also testing his ways. David's life was not all that it would want to be, he would wish it to be. There were regrets over the things that he had done and the wasted days and the bad experiences. Yes, the years in his life that were closed over with a shadow. But he didn't wallow in self-pity. He set about correcting his days. Yes, Psalm 32, there was a time there for almost a year when David refused to acknowledge the sin that he had committed against Bathsheba. But God brought him to the place where the boil was lanced and all of this sin gushed out. And David tested his ways. We cannot turn back the clock, however much we might want to. But we can do something about what God has left to us, however long or short these days might be. Time, after all, is a one-way street. Going one way. He tested his ways. He came to the conclusion that his life was away from God. We can come to that same conclusion ourselves. We're underneath great danger the edifices of life, the things that we thought were so stable and so long-lasting, begin to crack and crumble. Things are made of plastic. When you apply heat to them, they just melt and go soft. That's what happens to our lives so often when God's word is loose in our life. Test our ways. Let us not misuse God's patience in dealing with us. Test our ways. Look back. Look back to the remarkable providences that God has given to you. It might be like providence in protecting you, or providence in providing for you. How have we behaved after these providences? Look back. Or again, listen. Listen to God's word. God has spoken several times, many times, here or in other places. God has spoken with a resounding authority. God has spoken in solemn tones. God has spoken on weighty, important matters. God has spoken with compassion and mercy and care to us all. How have we responded? What about the impressions of other peoples round about us? We've known perhaps Christian folk who've been before us, people that we've lived with, and something of their lives have touched our life. The impression that they've left with us is of Christian things. Have we heeded then these impressions? When we've been under pressure or in difficulties, to whom have we turned? When we've faced temptation, how have we resisted them? But especially, where do we obtain satisfaction for life today? Simple questions, a barrage of questions that we can use to test our own lives. What have we got that will last and stand up to the test of time and to test of death? Look into our hands, look into our life, look into the things that are precious that we're holding on to as we've journeyed through life. What have we got there? Let's take time. Time that is passing so quickly with us all. Take time to do a stock taking, to do an evaluation, to do an analysis about our lives. Simply to do a checkup. We're always told to do the checkups, not only in medical terms now, but in financial terms, pension provisions and everything else. We're always bombarded. Do a checkup. Where are you? What have you got? And where do you expect to be? Well, if we do a physical, a financial, if we do these kind of checkups, let's do a spiritual one as well. Where are we? What have we got? Where do we expect to be? Test our ways. And as the psalmist did that, and as we do it, what was the outcome and the consequence? He tells us again, he turned his feet to the teaching and the testimonies of God. There was something complete and entire about his reaction. We know that there are several places in the scriptures where Jesus says, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. That simply brings out the lingering inconsistency, the lack of commitment, the way in which we can sometimes be divided in ourselves, that the Lord wants to highlight and to place before us as a danger. Here is the psalmist coming at that same problem in a different way. He says, he turned his feet. If you turn your head, your body can still go in a different direction. If you turn your hands can go behind you or elsewhere. But if you turn your feet, your whole body is going in one new direction. Tinkering with the system is no use. You cannot just simply do a little bit here or a little bit there. That's no use. There has to be a fundamental and a complete reorientation. The things that we once loved, we've got to shun. Eternity that once was so distant to us must now be a near reality. The earthly things, all the things that we put great delight in, they must now be relegated to second place. Why? Because of the place that Jesus Christ now must have with us. He is the precious one to our soul because he and he alone is the one able to forgive and to pardon us. He and he alone is the one able to answer the problems in our lives. Once we never thought about him, passed him by, didn't give him a second thought or a second look. We went on that way for many's a year until one time God stopped us. And God brought us with eyes opened by the touch of his grace to discover our own hearts, to discover our own lives, and to realize that only in Jesus Christ, only in him, can we be forgiven. Sin, oh sin didn't bother us in the past until we were awakened spiritually. And now it's a big problem to us. A problem that can only be addressed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven has broken in to my soul. And because of things that once were neglected but now are important, I turn my feet to God's Word. Because it's only in God's Word that I find peace and rest. Isaiah tells us, God, through Isaiah rather, says, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. That's what we've got to do. Turn to God. And we've got to do it at once. Verse 60 says, I made haste. Oh, he made haste. He didn't dilly and dally along the road. He didn't sit down and think, well, now will I do it today? Well, I've got this thing to do and I've got this to finish off and then there's another job to be done. And well, when I get all of them out of the way, I might just give thought to this important spiritual thing. No. Here he is and he says, I made haste. It's important. The issues involved are serious and solemn, urgent and important. Therefore, I've got to do it now. Nothing half-hearted. No delays. You remember the experience of Paul when he spoke and the king, oh, listen to what he said when he preached of temperance, righteousness, and judgment to come. And Agrippa, oh, he was touched. He was touched by the sermon. But he said to Paul, I'll speak to you later. I'll deal with it later. A convenient season. A convenient season doesn't come to us. Because there is always something else that jumps the queue. There's always something else that gets into the front. There's always something else that takes the priority away. And what the psalmist is saying is, no, this is too important. This is too urgent. This is too serious. to be treated in that way. There is something about your soul and mine that we cannot relegate into second place in life. We need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sad fact we stares us in the face today from society is people today have no fear of God. They get on with life and they treat God in a blasé way. Sad to say that that's the way people live today. They don't give God a second thought. They're more concerned with themselves. No fear of God, no knowledge, no respect, no regard for Him. They do not have the urgency that they ought to have, that we ought to have. They don't have that importance about their soul and their relationship with God. They haven't seen that problem and the way they're bankrupt to do anything about it. To them, Jesus Christ is not precious, but He is to the sinner awakened and made aware of his sin. And to the sinner that is awakened, and to the sinner that is trusting in Jesus Christ, who goes through this process, the prodigal son, verses 59 and 60, thinking, turning, doing it with haste, there are tremendous gifts that the Lord God gives to His people. He gives to His people peace. Verse 165 says, great peace have they who love thy law. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose soul, his heart is stayed on thee. Peace. Isn't that not what the prodigal son was looking for? He was restless going here and there and everywhere. We're restless today. We need this peace. It's a peace that is given by God to those and only to those who trust in Jesus Christ. He is the balm for our soul. He's the one that heals the brokenhearted. He's the one that gives hope to the hopeless, takes the ruins of our lives and builds them up again. He is the one who gives liberty, freedom, to His own. The gift then that He gives to His people, no matter what is in store for us. The psalmist, I'm just simply quoting from Psalm 119 itself. Go to verses 23 and 24, and he speaks there about opposition and battles that he's got to fight. And how is he going to overcome these battles? By going to God's word for counsel. But not only going for counsel, but also going to God's word for delight, for joy, for satisfaction in his soul. I quoted verse 165. Let me finish it off in this way. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall make them stumble. What a tremendous prospect and blessing and experience that is for those who trust in Jesus Christ. Nothing shall make them stumble. We have over these past days enjoyed quiet, calm autumn weather. Yesterday, going up the road to Inverness, at South Laggan there's a boat there, an old Sulu, I think it is. It was moored there in the water, and the canal was absolutely flat. Perfect reflection, a beautiful picture. We see it time and again round about us in these days, a peaceful autumn morning. Well, the peace that we know physically is the peace that is promised and given spiritually by the Lord Jesus Christ. So quiet, so refreshing, and nothing will make us to stumble
as we enjoy him for so long. A painful discovery we've got to make about ourselves, but also a precious discovery of the Lord Jesus Christ as our only Saviour. Thinking about our life, testing our ways, and turning to him to trust and to rely upon him. That's the process of the psalmist. That's the process of the prodigal son. We might not be in the same extremity as the prodigal son. We might not have gone down the same path to the same extent as he did. But we all must have that same experience as they did and are shown to us tonight, to think and to turn and to do so with haste. Nothing can be more important or urgent. Do it with haste. Hebrews tells us, today, if you hear God speak, don't put it off till tomorrow, but close in with Christ now. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we bless thee for the privileges given to us, the weighty material and issues that are set before us. We are not equal to these things, preacher or hearer alike, but we pray that by thy Holy Spirit's ministry, the words spoken in thy name might be brought home to every one of our hearts. Lord, may they remain with us, be an influence in us for good, changing us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, bless each one of us. Bless us in our soul and the things that we've heard from thee today. And we pray for mercy. We pray for grace from thee, O God, that thou wouldst change us and bring us to trust and rely upon Jesus Christ, thy Son. In his name we ask it. Amen. We may close by singing several verses of that psalm. We were thinking about Psalm 119 at 57. Thou my assured portion art alone, which I did choose, O Lord. I have resolved and said that I would keep thy holy word. With my whole heart I did entreat thy face and favour free. According to thy gracious word, be merciful to me. I thought upon my former ways and did my life well try. And to thy testimonies pure my feet then turned I. I did not stay nor linger long as those that slothful are. But hastily thy laws to keep myself I did prepare.
And grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon the body with you all. Amen.